You're watching Fanboy Versus with your hosts, JD Church, Nicole Hale, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely.
And you are watching Fanboy Versus. I am your host, JD. Joined this week, Chris Triplett, Chris McFeely, Nicole Hale, there with me. They're live, even if their video doesn't move. So, he's got a red Solo cup. We're excited. So, welcome, gang. Everybody, Chris Triplett's back from Nepal. And we're ready to go.
The monks weren't very kind to me. I had to leave early.
No. You didn't appreciate their hazing rituals.
Something like that.
Okay. So, here's a goldfish. You swallowed a goldfish.
I have to be quiet for how long?
He's going to do it, man. This is going to be great.
Oh my god, we already fooled him, okay?
Okay, you could own a video on your phone. This is awesome. Okay. I am very sorry to people of whatever nationality it was that I was just doing.
What the hell that was? I don't know. Yeah.
I can be offended if you don't know what to be offended by.
So please don't be offended by the show. It's awful.
Aren't online, so they won't know.
Right. Thankfully, not as many people listen to this show as Superhero Time, so we should be okay. With that in mind, let's go to Chris McFeely then, and he can tell us what is in actual like news things that might be more important. No?
Had a chocolate in his mouth.
Okay. That's what she said?
News.
News?
News,
yes.
News.
A couple of announcements coming out, and it's comic-based news.
Wow.
There have not been any massive
books?
Controversies.
That's news right there. I mean...
All right, put a you know, empty the penny jar, you know, so we can restart the penny jar.
Yeah.
Every time someone has a controversy, you have to put a jar.
Is that from like a take a penny, give a penny jar? Or like if you start a controversy, you have to, you can take one.
I think female superhero costumes are impractical.
Oh, take a penny.
Okay, so DC.
If they right up your rear. Sorry.
I don't know, Chris Triplett, what do you think?
Take a penny! Eating the controversy.
We're off to a good start today.
Right. DC have announced a couple of things.
Okay.
They have announced...
More cancellation.
No, it's not cancellations. It's new things.
Oh,
calm down. Yeah, so they've announced that Batman Superman will be returning.
Okay.
That's going to be with writer Greg Pak of Incredible Hercules.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. That's actually kind of interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
And artist Jay Lee.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah. That's a strange choice.
So now
Jay Lee will actually be doing the Sentry again. Okay, that's interesting.
I see what you did. No, that's not. I think Pak was Marvel exclusive up until recently.
Yeah, his exclusive just dropped. It dropped like the same time that I think Gale's for DC dropped. It was like,
and there you go. And here he is now. And Jay Lee is not the sort of choice you would imagine. I mean, you could see Jay Lee on Batman, but putting him on Superman is an odd choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure how much the market needs another Batman and or Superman title, but it's a far more logical choice to fill a gap in the new 52 schedule with than the Green Team, you know, or whatever.
Are they really getting along that well that they need a book together?
Hey, they have a book together, Justice League.
Yeah, but that seems to probably be like, you know, I don't know. It just seems kind of like, you know, like a Batman Superman book. It's like, I don't know. I mean, I trust Greg Pak because I love his stuff, so. You know, I'm sure he'll do something really cool with it. I'm just kind of... Are they really that close now? Yeah.
I'll probably get stoned for this, but I actually liked the Jeff Loeb Superman Batman book. There were some funny things in that.
By stoned, you mean high, right?
No, I mean like... Because I'm recommending a Jeff Loeb thing, you know, that was a good book.
Well, that was basically the last, like, the last good thing Jeff Loeb did, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it was big and dumb and widescreeny movie-ish sort of dumb, but it knew what it was doing, you know.
Yeah.
It made for some rather dreadful animated films, but the comics themselves were really the last great good thing that he did of any note, you know.
But we never got an animated film with Bat-Zara, which, you know, I hate that. I want a Bat-Zara now.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. So what else is DC announcing? DC, well, further to the announcement that all of the Green Lantern creators were leaving, in addition to Geoff Johns, mm-hmm. they have announced the new creative teams. So Green Lantern is going to be taken over by Robert Venditti writing, with Billy Tan on the art. Green Lantern Core is going to be written by Joshua Hale Fialkov, who I believe has done Alpha this week, which we'll be talking about later on, and Bernard Chang on the art. And Fialkov's also going to be doing Red Lanterns with Alessandro Vitti on the art. New Guardians will have new writer Justin Jordan and art from Brad Walker. And but you may well ask me, but that's all four. Well, get ready for the fifth Lantern book. That's the other new announcement from DC.
What?
I know. What do you suppose it could be?
Buzz.
Blue Lanterns? I don't know. Lore Flees?
You got it.
Lore Flees? Lore Flees?
What is it?
Larfleet.
Okay. But who? Who's writing this?
It. Keith Giffen writing, Scott Collins drawing.
Mm. Ooh.
I like that
theme. Ooh. Ooh.
Dude, speaking of Larfleet, he was on the Green Lantern cartoon.
I know.
I haven't seen it.
And it was awesome this week.
Oh.
It was a good one this week.
I love
the little guy now.
I'm saving up the rest of Green Lantern to watch when it's finished, so I haven't.
I'm conflicted by this.
I know.
I mean, it's got Larfleet. I haven't seen it in a while.
Because I just went down that line. It was just like, skip it. You know, it was like, that was easy.
Well, Larfleet has, I believe it's the same creative team, has done, there's only two issues of it come out now, but DC's new space book, Threshold, does have Larfleet as its backup strip. I think Collins is definitely drawing that. I can't remember off the top of my head if Giffen is writing it. I think he might be. So they may be picking up with what they're doing there. I mean, and what that has been about so far is that Larfleet, having got himself Larfleet, you know how the guardians of the Book of Oa, well, Larfleet wants a book too, damn it. So he gets a book and he gets somebody he gets somebody to write the book for him, and he dictates the book, and it's about 5 sentences long because all he talks about is how great he is, and that's all, because that's all that matters. But I haven't read the second issue, but in the first issue, like, he leaves to go and deal with something, and when he comes back, he's been robbed.
Oh no!
No.
Oh, God, that would be a series, wouldn't it? That would be how we do a Larfleet book. Somebody stole my shit. I want it back. That's ongoing.
Oh, man. Now, so I have to ask a semi-related, but not on this particular topic question. So I saw a teaser image. Is that White Lantern Kyle Rayner?
He has been tricking around in a White Lantern outfit now for a while, I think, since the end of... I say a while, since last month. Since the end of the Rise of the Third Army.
Ah!
I think he got his crap together, because he's still in a White Lantern in this month's issue of New Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think we're talking about it this week, but this week was the first chapter of the Wrath of the First Lantern story.
Yeah.
I started to read it, but I couldn't finish reading it because, like, 3 pages in, I had no idea what was happening because I didn't read Green Lantern Core Annual. Mm. I have no idea what's happening in that book.
Well, 3 pages in, that was just a flashback to the birth of the universe, wasn't it?
But then stuff happened past
Well, you said 3 pages.
Well, like,
he thought you were being serious.
Florida, I understood until somebody showed up, and I was like, what?
Yeah, What? You know, we've never seen past that moment before when I, and all recountings.
I saw
of that.
The hand, and then I saw something on the
hand.
Yeah,
what was going on with
happened.
That? Yeah, I'm interested.
And then I was like, I need to go back and read Green Lantern Core.
Just the
no
annual.
Idea.
Wow.
Just the annual, yeah. Forget the series. Just
Larfleeze book. Okay. Well,
that's happening.
That's going to take my money.
Marvel's also got.
Yeah, I'll probably be a sucker and pick that up.
I wasn't even doubting.
Marvel's got an announcement as well. Well, it's not so much an announcement. It's a teaser image. And it's a blood-spattered black page, which has the Marvel logo and then Of the Dead, Fall 2013. So I don't know if that's supposed to say Marvel of the Dead, or if that's just the Marvel logo and then blank of the dead, or if it's Marvel of the Dead or whatever. But that's what it is, and that's what it says.
I don't think it's blood. I think it's just like it's grape juice.
Yeah, probably. That's all the information that we have received from Marvel. But a lot of eagle-eyed folks who, with good memories, have remembered that in October of last year, George Romero said he was writing something for Marvel.
Ooh. Oh, really? I don't remember hearing this.
Yeah.
That's George Romero of Dawn of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead. You know, that George. Yeah.
Of the Dead. George, huh.
The Dead, yeah.
The Dead.
So is this a series that might replace Marvel Zombies?
But no. it's up in the air. Who knows? No idea. IDW also.
If they get Dum Dum Dugan back for Marvel Zombies or this Marvel of the Dead, I'm so there.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Yeah.
Just say yes.
Dum Dum Dugan. That's all you need to know.
No, I know, yeah, but I don't automatically associate it with zombies, is all. So IDW also have an announcement as well, which is the rather surprising news that they have secured the license to make comics based on a lot of Cartoon Network properties like Powerpuff Girls, Johnny Bravo, Dexter's Lab, Foster's Home, Samurai Jack, Ben 10, and more. Mm. Which is... No, it's not odd to me that these comics would exist or anything. It's odd to me that they are not being done by DC, since DC is a Warner's company, and these are all Cartoon Network Warner's properties.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to make the joke about how I can't wait till they get that Young Justice comic, because I really like that show.
Oh, he's got jokes!
That's what he learned at the Monastery. He learned to be a stand-up comedian for the monks.
They made him walk on coals until he could be funny.
It didn't work.
So that's surprising. That's all we know, literally, at this point. But
I know you. But Johnny Bravo.
I'm just happy that Foster's back. Yay,
Johnny Bravo.
Okay, I'm foreseeing this as the next crossover event after the Mars Attacks thing. Cartoon Network.
Cartoon Network.
God.
Yeah, Joe and Transformers.
Yeah. So, dude, I want to see a Johnny Bravo Star Trek crossover. That's what.
There you go. Yeah.
Make him the captain of the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Well, this will make sense if they did.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes sense if IDW did a My Little Pony Powerpuff Girl crossover because they're both Lauren Faust creations.
Oh, that would be great.
Along
that's
with monsters.
Like destined to happen.
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing that should happen.
I mean, this doesn't surprise me too much in the sense that where DC is at right now, it's not pimping properties. And sometimes it's cheaper to outsource than it is to, you know, to try to do it in-house. You know, so it's like, why try to prop up, you know, why let IDW fail at it, you know, if they're going to. But honestly, IDW does properties well, so why not?
IDW makes their property books sell.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think in this respect, you know, we thought it was really out there that DC's trying to make a He-Man book that may only have a chance of working, you know, in digital.
But if you told me that IDW were going to do a He-Man book,
I'd be all over it. Yeah.
Oh, well, God, no.
Yeah. So it's like,
I would have the same level of apathy towards it, but it would make sense to me.
Exactly. Yeah. But, I guess it does kind of make weird sense. You know, this seems like an outsourcing thing to me.
God, I love how the world's changed. There was a time when I would have said, IDW is making a licensed book.
Yeah.
You know? God. And I'm like, yeah, do it. I want to see that.
Let's make it. Make it happen. Where's my Centurions book? I want.
So that's happening.
Okay.
What else is happening? Okay. So this is not a major piece of news, but it has been announced that Matthew Vaughn. Getting my
Kilby.
Writers mixed up with
Frank
my director. Matthew Vaughn, who directed X-Men First Class, will be producing the new Fantastic Four film.
Ah.
Yeah,
and that is a step in the right direction, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yes. They had previously announced that Josh Trank, who directed Chronicle, is going to be directing that.
Yeah, I finally saw Chronicle. Yeah. It wasn't bad. It was okay.
Of Narnia?
Nobody saw that. Chronicle.
There's no lion in this movie.
Chronicle is a found footage type movie about teenagers who get superpowers from a crashed alien spaceship.
Oh! Did anybody see that movie?
Yeah, they saw that film. It was basically Akira with white people, but...
Man, I wouldn't have said it like that.
I don't know why. That is funny, but that's hilarious.
Well, it is. I mean, isn't there pyres raging out of control and floating in the little...
All I want to know is, does the guy, like, swell up to, like...
No, not quite.
Oh, well then, never mind.
But his pyres do rage out of control in public situations, and he's hurling folks everywhere, and the government's called out against him.
Does he hallucinate that his guts fall out?
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't think so, no.
Oh. Those are all the best parts of Akira. How is this like Akira at all, then?
Well, you remember,
Is there a giant bear...
Akira did actually have a story that went along with...
Is there a giant bear crying milk?
No, there's no giant bear.
I don't understand, then.
Well, the story is basically the same.
What's there a story?
Story, you know.
I don't remember a story. I remember a motorcycle and a bear and guts everywhere.
I remember that motorcycle. That's all I remember.
That's all anybody remembers.
I may not have seen the movie right. I don't know.
Threw me off there.
But it's otherwise, it's just like Akira.
Okay, uh-oh. Back on track. Uh-oh. Fantastic Four movie might be good.
There you go. Okay, now that's all of the news. So just the last piece of news to mention is a sad piece of news. You know, it's just that DC artist Scott Clark passed away this week. He was only 43 years old.
Oh.
Yes, Now, he got his break at Wildstorm and was recently drawing... he was drawing Deathstroke for the New 52 recently. This is not somebody who wasn't working or was off the scene or anything. This is just somebody who just passed away very suddenly.
Sounds familiar. What did he do for Wildstorm? Maybe...
I've got a list of his past credits here. Brightest Day, Adventure Comics... Cable, Fathom, he did the Flashpoint Wonder Woman miniseries, he did Mark Waid's Irredeemable, and Batman Inc. even recently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. All over the place.
He's been, busy working. So that is a bit of a tragedy.
What happened? I mean,
I don't know if it's actually been announced what the circumstances were.
Wow.
I haven't seen it announced anywhere, but yeah. Well, he's too young. Too young.
Yeah, really, that is... pretty young. He's turned 34.
I know, that's not, like I said, it's not too much older than me. No.
Yeah, you're what, 38? 39? 30,
I'll be 37 this year.
Oh, okay. I was close.
Yeah, you just had a birthday.
Yeah, I did. I did. Duty. Thank you. I had one.
How old are you, JD?
I am now 34. So. Yeah, I know.
Part of the 34 club.
Yeah, I know.
Club, I have a card and everything.
Club 34, yep.
Yeah.
It's not a cool club.
It sucks.
It's a suck club is what it is.
I'm still only 30, yes.
It's, yeah, the 34 club is like, oh, cool, another year closer to death.
Jesus.
It's like nothing.
She'll be just do a happy 85th, JD.
Awesome. 85th.
You know, they ought to make some things that, like, when you get older, like, now you're old enough to do this. You know, kind of like how when you, like, you turn...
Yeah, you need some, like, milestones when you're older. You're old enough...
Yeah, you need something to look forward to. When I turn 35, I can, I don't know, like...
You're old enough to...
A robot or something.
You know, like, except
when you're
only...
65, you got retirement.
It's like...
65?
Maybe you could get something that's, like, you're old enough to legally date someone half your age.
Okay.
Not me.
No, sir. Depending on the country, you have a little bit of time to go.
McFeely, if you date someone half your age, that's still that's just wrong.
Yes, that's prison. That,
no. You got another couple of years to go. Not too long though.
No, I got that going on for me.
In some states, I think I would be okay now. Yeah. Arkansas, probably.
No, how about some comics?
Said all the news.
Yeah, that's the news.
All right. We ended the news on a high note.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
someone dies and we start talking about life. So. Yeah. Anyway, all right. So comic books then. Let's talk to Chris Triplett and see what he read.
I'm just depressed after that dialogue.
Oh,
good.
Let's talk.
As depressed as I am when I'm reading Daredevil number 23, by the way,
man.
Because there's some heavy shit going on in the world of Daredevil. Mm-hmm. At the end of the last issue, we found out something's not right with Foggy. In fact, it sounds like Foggy might be dying.
Uh-oh.
Found out, he's got something wrong with him.
He'll probably be fine.
He'll be
okay.
He is Foggy. I mean, come on. He survived a lot, you know, but I don't know. But, like, the big thing going on in this issue, which I thought was cool, is that there's at the beginning, we think we're getting, like, a retelling of Daredevil's origin with the whole, you know, got to, you know, save the blind guy crossing the street and get hit in the face with the, you know, the chemicals and all that stuff. Except for it isn't Matt that this is happening to. There's some, like, you know, guy that the same thing happens to him. But it's all planned. We find out there's this group, this organization that's trying to recreate the accident that gave Daredevil his powers with not such great success because I guess apparently, you know, chemicals are, you know, stronger, you know, now than they were in the 60s and this guy's face gets eaten off. So it's
you can't get superpowers from toxic chemicals.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Like, it's kind of like this – you know, secret government type thing. Like, you know, there's like a fake city, like they, down to everything. Like, they made a fake city with like backgrounds and everything, and it's like a stage, you know, where like you're filming a movie or something. And they've just got basically convicts, you know, with bags over their heads. And then when some guy dies, all right, get the next one ready. Have him stop the blind guy from getting it. I mean, they've even got the blind guy. They've got a guy who's supposed to be blind that they're supposed to stop because I guess they think that's the one of the elements that's going to make this guy the next Daredevil or something. So it's really weird. It's just like out of left field. This is not something that has shown up before. And it comes back because later on in the issue, there's a group of people that Daredevil gets into a fight with. And apparently they succeeded because there's a whole bunch of these guys that have Daredevil-like powers. Problem is, when you get Daredevil powers, unless you're, you know, going to spend, I guess, like the years to learn how to deal with them, you walk into a room, you're basically going to be, like, going crazy with all the sounds and everything going on. So it's basically an issue where Daredevil's fighting a bunch of guys with Daredevil's powers where all he has to do is basically hit his foot on the floor hard enough and they'll all scream in pain. You know,
Wow.
It's like, that sounds like, it's like you're, the idea of the superhero fighting somebody who shares his powers, that's pretty tried and true. You know, that's your evil twin type story. But when you think about it, especially in the case of Daredevil, like, that just means that he knows exactly how to exploit all their weaknesses. It's like, buff, bam, bosh, and they're all down in seconds.
Like, yeah.
I love the one where, like, he's gonna, like, you know, hit a guy in the back of the head, and, like, he misses him, he's like, he ducks, and it's like, how did he duck? Oh, of course he ducked, dummy, you know, because he's got his powers and everything, and then he basically, you know, takes him out, And there's like another guy that's like running at him, and he puts a gun up against his head and shoots it next to his ear. And the guy's like, "Ah!" And he falls down. And
blows his ears out with the gunshot.
Wow.
So it's a great little.
I was reading this, and I was so slow that I didn't even pick up who these dudes were right away whenever I saw them clambering around the room. And the way Daredevil figures out what's wrong with them is he recognizes the smell of the chemical that was thrown over
their eyes. Yeah.
It's like he only smelled it once over 20 years ago, but there's no way I could ever forget it.
Yeah. So it's weird. Like, I don't know where...
But it hasn't worked perfectly, like, because he pulls out, like, all these guys have these little kind of mole man masks. It looks like they're stitched over their eyes. And only one of them has the mask torn off, but it's like, this is not a perfect thing. This did not work as neatly as with Daredevil, because it certainly looks like this one guy who gets the mask pulled off has actually had the eyes burned out of his head, because Daredevil accidentally gets a thumb in there.
I wonder that. So, like, these could be, like, the rejects or something. These could be the guys they're throwing out. Is there a guy where it worked fully on, and is there some guy that's going to show up at some point? You know, like, the anti-Daredevil or something. I don't know what else to call him, but you know what I mean?
The implication is that whoever's behind this is somebody that we will know when they're revealed. I mean, yeah. I don't remember a mysterious figure playing a role in the Claw three-parter at the start. I need to dig the issues out and look over them again to spot this mysterious figure that's supposed to be in them. But, like, that's supposed to be somebody who was involved with this as well. And this, whoever's behind this is the guy who was behind the Coyote storyline as well recently, trying to drive Matt Murdock mad. Somebody's got a mad on for Matt Murdock. And I don't know who it could be, because I don't know my Daredevil well enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, other than, like, the big names. Oh, maybe it's the Kingpin, you know? I have no idea.
Who are Matt Murdock's villains? Kingpin?
Mr. Fear?
Maybe what that was? They even make a joke about it. They make a joke about it in the issue, because, like, him and Falcon are spending some time. And there's, like, there's, like, this guy, like, some villain that's, like, coming back, and I don't know who it could be. And Foggy's like, you know, haven't you figured it out yet? You know, he says, think about it, Matt. It's obvious. Which one of your enemies has come out of the woodwork lately after years of obscurity? The last one you'd expect, Matt. I know you know who the mastermind is. It's who you're after. It's Stiltman. And then you turn the page, and they don't say anything. And then, of course, they break out in laughter for, like, two or three panels.
Wow.
respect.
Even the characters have no idea what's going on. And, like, I was telling you about Ian Foggy, you know, he's sick, something could be happening to him, he goes to the doctor, and we get an answer at the end of the issue. I'm not going to tell you what happens, but, I mean, like, I don't know where they're going with this, is all I can say.
I wasn't quite sure how to read it at the start, when what Matt says. And I was like, wait, you mean it's not... And then I think I interpreted what it's supposed to mean after that, as regards his health. And he's probably okay.
Yeah, he's probably okay. It's just something bad. That's all it is. Just something else. But no, at the end of this issue, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where Mark. I think Mark Waid's going to make me cry. I think Mark Waid's going to make me cry.
Oh no.
Yeah, and just real quick, because you know Spider-Man came out, Spear Spider-Man.
I love this. I mean, first of all, it's Massacre, which is just awesome.
It's Massacre. I mean, for God's sakes. I mean, it's Massacre, and it's the auto Spider-Man. Like, what is going to happen in this story?
Oh.
I mean, the last Massacre story, the only other previous Massacre story, is still one of the best things. And that was a showcase for the sheer determination and never give upness of Peter Parker. And now it's not Peter Parker anymore. How's this going?
Yeah.
It's like he even.
I went a little fangirl in this issue because of the spider bots. I'm like, oh, look at the spider bots. Okay, that's what I liked.
It's such a simple, great idea. It's like, yeah, you know what? Peter could actually have done this before.
Yeah, he should have, really.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, it didn't take long. They produced themselves. They're just skittering about. They're not intrusive. They're not doing anybody any harm. They're actually a really useful crime-fighting tool. That's Joe Bottom.
You know, though, it's like, this is one of those things that it's like, if Peter would have done it, though, it would have gone all wrong. Someone
yeah,
would have,
totally.
Someone
yeah.
like Otto someone would have used it against him.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
if Peter
would have done it,
location.
The villain would have taken over.
Yeah.
It would have been like something. The villain would have used it against him because I mean that's basically what happened.
And it's,
he made better tech, and then what happened? Otto took
but
over.
All the, and that's kind of I think what's coming in.
It
in,
is a supervillain's idea, really. You know,
yeah.
I will have an army of robots patrol the city.
And well, and maybe that's kind of what we're seeing here too. You know, in some ways, we talked about like this villain as a superhero kind of thing, and you know, yeah, it's one of those things that. You know, like Otto in here in this issue, you know, skips going to rescue a burning building so that he can be at Aunt May's physical therapy. And that's a typical thing that's like, you know, that's such a typical Peter Parker thing. It's like, do I save this burning building or do I go, you know, be with my Aunt May who I promised I would be there? And Peter always chose the burning building. And Otto has done so much that he feels like, there's this balance, and Peter even tries to get onto him. It's like, dude, it's not like a quota.
You know? Yeah, it's like you're gonna fill up your cup and you're done. I mean,
it's like
Spider-Man.
Yeah,
but then he doesn't go so far as to just let those people, you know, stay. I mean, he like redirects it so that he can get like the local fire department.
I mean, he calls
still,
in
he's doing the hero thing. It's just that he's finding a better way to do it.
Well, he's finding a way to do it in which he can almost, in some ways, he's being a better Peter Parker.
That's the point.
You know, and that's part of the point, yeah. I don't know if he's being a better Spider-Man. Especially, like, the little bit from Avengers as well. We're not talking about Avengers, but there was a great bit in Avengers. Hickman has totally got, like, this Otto thing, which I guess I'll go ahead and mention, like, that scene real quick. There's a scene where it's Cannonball and who's the other guy?
Sunspot.
And they're like, dude, what are you doing? And like, Peter's eating his lunch. He's like, he's got a special diet, you know? He's got to have, like, this stuff. And he's like, so?
I mean, we had been wondering exactly what was going to happen with Spidey as regards Avengers, because we see them, like, get invited. They invite Peter in the very first issue of Avengers, and it did seem to be Peter. But then it was like, oh, is it going to reflect now that it's not Peter anymore?
Yeah.
Probably not going to factor in any more than that. But it was just really nice to see that, actually that. And they don't, I love it. It's like, they don't explain it at all.
No.
It's just like if you had. Spider-Man's being a bit of a dick for some reason.
And they're like, because they're even, like after the whole thing, he's like, he gives it back and they like say something snarky to him. He's like, I spit in that.
That's fair. He's
like, I kind of hate you.
And they're like, I kind of don't like that guy anymore. But then he goes one step further and goes to Stark, and he's like, we need to talk.
This is children.
He's like, well, did you take their lunch? Well, it was a misunderstanding. He's like, well, don't take their lunch. But the thing in here, like, but just and again, it's all the Otto stuff, like the perfect.
I love that, like Peter never got like his degree. He's not a doctor.
And that just
Otto can't let it stand.
He got so pissed. He's like, that is Dr. Peter Parker to you. He's like, no, you're not. What?
What?
I love it. And it's like the little things he's like forgets, you know, and like just doesn't even think. He's like searching memory. Searching memory? What the hell is he talking about?
Yeah.
No. But this issue's also a little violent. I mean, this is another issue where it's like there's a lot of, you know, there's just some violence in here.
The doctor, what's her name? Dr. Kafka. She's been around for a long time. I was kind of surprised by that. That's a character.
Sure when she was created, but I could tell you when she was last relevant.
It's a character that, you know, is in Spider-Man comics. It's been around like well before I got into the Spider-Man comics.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's interesting that, you know, they let
that
happen.
That was definitely my reaction. My reaction was, can he do that? That's an established character. And I'm like, who hasn't been relevant since Carnage?
Was that the doctor that was in? I think she was just in that Carnage crossover, actually.
Oh,
I think she was just in Minimum Carnage. I thought this character seemed familiar.
She's associated with Carnage. I mean, like, she's been in several Carnage.
Yeah, I bet. I don't have it in front of me, but yeah, I think so. I think she was just in Minimum Carnage.
Well, that's all she ever does now. Is like, she's just associated with being the doctor at the crazy prison where they keep Carnage.
Yeah.
So, it would, I mean, when you're grasping for somebody to bulk out the supporting cast of a Carnage mini-storyline, Kafka is the one that's going to turn up. Oh, no,
we don't get
I'd have to come up with a new doctor for Carnage to manipulate.
And we don't get our showdown between Otto and Massacre. I mean, it's continued, but it's coming. But we do get something at the end of the issue, which I'm not going to spoil, but... I'm interested.
Holy smokes. What? I mean, it's like, I don't know if that can...
Amazing.
It's one of those things where it's like, that can't be what it seems to be, but...
But maybe it is.
Well, I mean, maybe it's not, because...
Maybe
it could be misdirection, but we did see that Norman and Osborn got out of hospital, prison, wherever it was he was being kept, like an issue, a couple issues back.
Okay, so we are going to go ahead and spoil
this. We didn't
see
him get out under his own power or anything, so who
so
knows?
Then you just did. You just we did just go ahead and spoil it then, is what.
Well, it's not. It's like,
yeah. Okay.
It's to discuss the fact that it could be, it couldn't be. It's like, it's right there in the comic anyway. We know it's coming.
Okay.
Solicits for number 10 already.
Hey,
oh, okay.
It's the Green Goblin.
It's Green Goblin, yeah.
We don't know who it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like saying it's the Green Goblin. Like, there have been, like, six of them.
Yeah, so. Who knows which or what or who, but yeah.
But by Christ, I actually hope it's Norman. Because I cannot wait for Norman to actually be relevant in a Spider-Man comic again.
And fighting Otto!
I mean, that's it. It's like, I don't even get my Peter or Norman showed up. Like,
yeah.
It could be really good. I'm excited for this. See where they go.
No, I will buy.
I haven't been reading Spider-Man that long, and so when I saw that last panel, I'm like, oh, I'm so excited.
I kind of hope it is Norman, but I also kind of hope it's not. You know what
I mean?
It's like I'm a little bit conflicted. I hope it's Norman because I want to see Otto and Norman, but I kind of hope there's something going on. I hope that there's something else that's going on with this. So, I don't know.
I couldn't tell you the last time Norman had a role in a Spider-Man story. It's just he's been working on a different level since Secret Invasion, essentially. When he was the head of Hammer during Dark Reign, like, there was a story. There was the New Ways to Die story, like, introduced Anti-Venom and everything. And there was American Sun kind of played in there as well. But he wasn't
American Sun.
Like,
it was Infinite.
Yeah, that's probably right. Seems about right.
I think that was the last big story. Room was in with Amazing was American
with Spidey, because then Siege happened, and then he was off the grid for a little bit, and then he had his miniseries, and then we had the rather dreadful Avengers, New Avengers, Dark Avengers story where he came back and attacked the Avengers, because that's who the Green Goblin goes after.
Yeah.
And he was in a coma following the end of that storyline, and then he disappeared from the hospital where he was being kept because of his coma. And I'm like, holy crap. Yeah. And you know what? I will buy Mary Jean not realizing there is something wrong and this is not Peter if Norman figures out that it's Peter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And if anybody is going to figure it out, it is going to be him.
He will know.
Yeah.
I don't know if Norman and Otto have ever really had any team-ups or anything, but...
Yeah, but still...
I'm not saying he'll know it's Otto, but I'm saying he should really know it's not Peter.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For
the same way that I would expect the Joker to know it's not Bruce Wayne under the Batman mask.
Yeah, know? yeah, totally.
Would expect Norman
but he doesn't care who's under the Batman mask. Yes, I listened to last.
Well, week. Yeah, that's very true. But he would know it's not his Batman. You know,
right?
You know, he would know it's not his Batman, but he doesn't care. That's the point. That's the point. Why? Yeah. But yeah, good comics.
Yep. Awesome. Okay. All right. Now, Nicole. You've got several comics to cover, so
I had 23 comics I picked up this week, so I'm going to do three. Okay.
Short version.
I spent a small fortune this week, and guess what? Everything was really good except for one, but it just didn't appeal to me. I'm pretty sure someone else loved it. So the first one, since we're talking about Spider-Man, I'm going to talk about Alpha Big Time. Now, this is one where, if you read Spider-Man, what was it, 694? Around there? Somewhere? Yeah. This character was introduced. Was it? Yeah. This character was introduced, and you find out that Peter Parker, he thought he was too powerful, so he took his powers away. Well, that was Peter, you know. Peter's no longer with us. So in this issue, you find out that Alpha, he is actually lower than he was. He was with the uncool kids before, but now no one wants to be with him because he's just too dangerous. Well, they don't know, realize that he doesn't really have his powers, but they still think he's too dangerous. But Peter Parker, who he thinks is Peter Parker, decides to give him a second chance and gives him back a little bit of his powers. Now, you got to remember, it's not Peter, it's Doc Ock. So what is he going to be doing to poor kid? Yeah, and so he's doing like these different experiments. He's doing the Peter particles, parcels, what was it called?
Parker particles?
That created Alpha. Parker particles. So he's wanting to do experiments more with them. So he's brought Alpha back to do these, and he's given back only 10% of his powers. But let's just say things still go wrong even with 10%. And the kid kind of realizes, oh, crap, I've got to actually work on this. So, you know, for a first issue, it's really good because I want to know what – quote unquote Peter Parker is up to experimenting on him. So
I think it's weird that they're doing this miniseries because, like, you know, the character was introduced in Amazing Spider-Man and then he just, you know, he was gone and then nothing happened with it. And I kept thinking, oh, well, you, that's something that's going to come back. Well, if it's coming back in a mini by Dan Slott, that's kind of weird. You know, is something else going to happen after the mini, you think? Or
I'm not sure.
but you like the first issue?
I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited to see where they take him and what other experiments they're going to be doing on him. So that's Alpha big time. That was one of those ones I didn't really care about, but I'm like, I'm going to pick up just to see where the story continued, and now it's got my interest. So
I didn't care enough to want to, like, yeah. If Slott had written it, I would have got it. If Slott had written it, I would have got it.
If Slott was doing it, I would have picked it up, no doubt. But, like, when I saw different writers doing it, I was like,
No slight against the actual writer or anything. It is Joshua Hill Fialkov did it, didn't it?
I just wanted to know what other experiments Mr. Doc Ock is going to be doing on him. So, basically, it's his little experiment, human experiment that he's doing on Alpha, so... the next one is one I really did not want to pick up, but in my mind, I still, like, why not? I'm spending a small fortune. Why not pick up this one? I picked up Vibe.
No, now, Justice League of America's Vibe.
Yeah.
Oh, I apologize.
Give it a full title, yeah.
Oh, I apologize.
What's so special about Vibe that Katana doesn't warrant the label?
Maybe they're not trying. Maybe it's more of a favor they're doing to her than.
Now, who's writing Vibe? Is it
Jeff Johns?
That's what I was saying. That's why, because maybe that's why it's Justice League of America.
He's co-writing it though with who is it? He's co-writing it with
Andrew Kressberg.
Yes, producer of Arrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I really assumed, you know, you'll pardon my cynicism is showing. I really assumed I was going to open this and I was going to see story by Jeff Jones and Andrew Kreisberg, written by Andrew Kreisberg on the actual pitch. But no, it actually says written by Jeff Jones and Andrew Kreisberg. I mean, let's not joke that they're not using Jones's name to sell that comic, because they are, and I think he'll in very short order transition out of having his name included on the credits page, but we'll see.
Yeah,
basically I didn't really know a whole lot about Vibe before. Honestly, I didn't care to know anything about Vibe.
Yep.
Hey, I like the shorts where he breakdances.
I can't even scan the shorts.
Breakdancing robots.
But, yeah, but you know, this is a good origin story. It's very sad because it ends up that his oldest brother is the one that died saving him from Darkseid. And that's where he gets his power, is from this explosion that Darkseid had created. But his brother died pulling him out.
It's a bit hand-wavy, but it's like rumble-dumble-boom-tube powers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what I thought, too.
But it's not really his origin, how he got his superpowers. It's his family story that's really interesting, because you see him later on growing up, you know, with his other brother, and they're having family issues, and it's all about... This whole family was centered around this older brother that died, and he was supposed to be the example to these other two. He was the one that was going to college. He was the first one to go to college. He was the one that was setting the family straight, and he's gone. And so this family has just lost it, and they're trying to pull themselves together, but they're not really able to.
Now all they've got is this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then it comes to find out, you know, he doesn't really know anything about his power, but secret agents do. So they find him and basically introduce him eventually into the Justice League.
They make him an offer he can't refuse.
Basically. And then there's a good little end here, because someone else is fighting for their daughter. I don't want to spoil it, but I should.
It's the single most interesting damn thing in the entire comic, maybe we not spoil this one, but it does pick up. I mean, they've been crafty. They've made Vibe important as a comic. It is the first direct addressing of the big dangler that was left at the end of the first Justice League story arc.
Oh, really? Ah. Okay.
Yeah.
You guys should have read this, then.
Now, whether or not this will be a plot thread that will carry on through Vibe, or if it's just being dropped here to then filter over into Justice League of America, which will factor
into the
war somehow.
Think of what you're saying. It's a Vibe monthly comic. It has to be in Vibe, or no one's going to buy this comic.
This is
who?
The thing is, like I said, I didn't even care for this character. Never even... gave two winks to him. And you know what? This comic was really interesting, and I just like the family story, really. And so, and for my last little quick recommend, G.I. Joe number one. Now, if you guys have never read G.I. Joe, here's your stepping on point. Here you go.
I kind of want to get this. I've missed so many issues. I thought, well, a new ongoing series, maybe I should get this, but I didn't get it the other day. Tell me it's awesome.
You what? It's got some of your favorite characters in it. Again, if you know your characters, they're pretty safe. But if they're introducing a couple new characters, guess what? One thing that G.I. Joe Comics has told me, if you don't know the character, they're not going to last long. And this comic group, at least one of those characters.
Is Firefly in it?
He hasn't in yet.
Damn it.
But right now they're just introducing the Joes.
Is the Rock, so... good G.I. Joe character.
Okay, Roadblock is pretty much the center character in this issue.
Does he look like
a lot like the Rock?
Oh!
And that film is not far away now, is it?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's comfortable.
So, basically, you've got them setting up for... They're just being introduced... as the new Joes, and so they're coming up with their code names. They're just meeting each other for the first time, and so you've got the six that pretty much people know: Roadblock, Quick Kick, Tunnel Rat, Cover Girl, Shipwreck, and Doc. And then you also have two that are introduced, which is Hashtag and Windmill.
Yeah,
now, let's see.
Oh,
let's
that
see.
Is like Lieutenant Dr. McCoy, Mr. Spock, and Anson Ricky.
Hey, Ricky, thanks for joining us on the ship. I heard you just had a baby. Oh, yes. Oh, thanks, Captain. Yeah, sure did. I can't wait to get home to see my little darling.
All right. Is Hashtag basically like a modernization of Mainframe? I don't understand. You know, is he tweet all the time or something? Is that why he's called Hashtag?
Okay.
But that could be dangerous. Don't take him into a covert ops mission, because he will check in.
See, you guys So hashtag.
Oh God.
Is a blogger that they have report. They're bringing onto the team so that she can publicly blog about the special forces. You're like, what?
Hashtag has checked in at Cobra Castle. What? With three other people.
M. Totes looking in through Cobra Commander's window. Hope he doesn't see us. LOL.
LOL. Hashtag covert ops. Hashtag SHHH.
I honestly.
Damn it, hashtag!
Articles really make me think, you know?
It turns out the only real way to stop Cobra is to follow that Cobra Commander guy on Twitter, and you find out all the plans and events.
The thing is, Duke made a joke.
Oh, going Duke to Washington to about... dominate some women.
Yeah, Duke, out of all people, made a joke about this. He's like, well, in conjunction with the Pentagon to ensure the right mix of ethnicity, gender, and service branch. So he's just got a made a joke that, well, we got all the women, we've got all the races, you know. So...
God.
But one of my favorite thing is Shipwreck. Oh my gosh, because he makes fun of the uniform he has. He's got the classic 80s cartoon where he's got the sailor outfit and the hat. He's like, do I really have to wear this?
Does he have Polly? Affairs.
Does he have a bird?
Okay, he's got Polly.
Yes.
But,
no.
But.
It's a mechanical bird?
A drone bird.
Drone bird.
Robot Polly.
It's the owl from Clash of the Titans. That's what it is.
God.
It's called Polly.
Going weird.
Polly is personal operations logistics liaison intelligence.
It's not just the name. It's a.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow.
Nice.
Shipwreck is probably, oh my gosh, he's so funny. And he doesn't like his name. He hates the name Shipwreck. He wants everyone to keep on calling him Badass. He's like, call me Badass. That was my name before. He's like, we're not going to call you Badass. He's like, that's...
Did Shipwreck not exist in IDW G.I. Joe before?
Maybe it didn't.
Because that would be some kind of friggin'... No wonder it's never been successful before now.
Yeah, really.
Shipwreck is the best G.I. Joe. We did lose her. Yeah. You know what's an important point that hasn't been mentioned that I will mention now is the writer of this G.I. Joe?
Oh, really?
Oh, this...
It is, is this
Fred...
the... Van Lent?
Yeah.
Van Lent's been talking about writing this for months. Why did I not pick this up?
I really thought about it myself.
And he works with the main Joe writer from like the Marvel comic. Also, both of them are writing it, right? It's two guys. What's his name?
Arihama.
That guy. Yeah, couldn't think of his name.
Yeah, Van Lent's been
really... Is that right, Nicole?
Harry, what was that about Harry Hama?
Is it just Van Lente, or are they both credited?
No, it's just Fred Van Lente.
Okay, all right.
We should get him. Yeah. We should interview him on this show. That's what we ought to do.
I really like this because the big baddie at the end isn't Cobra Commander. It's someone else.
Well, tell us this. Is it somebody you would know from... Is it an existing G.I. Joker? Is it Dark Claw? You know, somebody...
I'm going to give it away because she was on the covers.
Oh, okay.
But it's Baroness.
It's Baroness.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That would have been my actual second guess.
Yeah, really. I mean that
I
you really.
The cover and
how
you,
many prominent
the splash page they have here at the end of her? I could see.
You get Cobra Commander, you get Destro, and then from there it's like a toss up between Baroness or Zartan. You know, it's like you could. It's like, oh, it's a coin toss. Ah.
Yeah, but the original Cobra Commander is still dead in IDW continuity, right?
I would think so. Yeah,
Ivan. Because, I mean, there was that whole thing, because he died.
I lost audio, sorry.
Oh, the original Cobra Commander is still dead in IDW, right?
The original Cobra Commander is dead. They actually, what was it? Not last year, the year before, they had They had the whole contest of getting
Commander. Like maybe he came back or something.
That was really good.
He'll come back in this.
I'm thinking about maybe picking up those new IDW collection hardbacks they're doing for their G.I. Joe now. I mean, they've been doing them for Transformers for a while, but they're doing them for G.I. Joe now, and I'm thinking maybe I should this time. I should do it now.
Thinking I should get this.
This at least. Spread on Lent.
Yeah, this is a great number one, especially if you're like me, and my favorite character of G.I. Joe is Shipwreck.
What are the chances he'll create a character like Taskmaster, but you don't call him Taskmaster? Because that would be nice. I'd like
you
that.
Call him.
Well, that's basically Sergeant Slaughter, isn't it?
To-do list.
He's the guy who trains everybody and knows all of the fighting.
Instead of Taskmaster, he'll be to-do list.
If Slaughter was in that issue, I would have already bought it. If you told me Sergeant Slaughter was in it, I would have gone back in time to buy that issue on Wednesday just for that.
We'll call him
my butt boil.
Captain Itinerary. No. Okay. Cool.
I'm not sure who trains all of Cobra's guys. I don't know who the evil version of.
It's actually Roddy Piper. I heard about this
one. Oh, wow. That makes sense.
They made like a G.I. Joe convention exclusive or something, and it was the Cobra trainer, and it was actually Rowdy Roddy Piper from wrestling. It was awesome. I want it so bad, and it is very expensive.
Good Lord. Is awesome.
It is awesome.
That's the Taskmaster character for the IDW universe. Mystery solved.
Okay. We've lost Nicole again, so I guess we can't hear her. So I guess we'll move on then, and I'll very quickly talk about Deadpool.
Yay!
Yeah. So if you've been reading all of this like president stuff, and you've been like lost in the history jokes that those of us who know a little bit of history are going,
wooden teeth.
Yeah, wooden teeth kind of stuff. You know what I mean? If you were lost through that, this should be more to your liking. Plenty of fourth wall breaking even in this, and it's Reagan. So, I mean, the highlights here are killer space monkeys, Soviet nuclear missiles. Reagan is full of jelly beans. I mean,
that one I don't think I get, but that's all right.
He ate a lot of jelly beans. It was one of his things. Hilarious and a very dark turn. And I'm kind of like, what? At the end. So I don't want to spoil that for sure. Because that was, I was like,
yeah, this was the last one, you know?
Yeah.
Everything else is five parts long out of this game. I was like, I thought this was the last one. What happened?
No, and it's like, yeah, and there was like, I was like, there was a nice little page turn where it's like, well, they can't really, they did, what? So,
yeah.
So very worth it. One of my favorite fourth wall things that I will mention, just because I happened to read it before I read this, was, let's see if I can find it, because I want to have the actual dialogue. So Reagan and Deadpool are here fighting. And let's see, what is it that Reagan says? He says,
"Well,
don't think me rude, but what happened to your face? You look like a Chernobyl firefighter. In my day, we had handsome heroes like Mr. Fantastic and Lady She-Hulk. Whatever happened to matinee idols like Captain Marvel?
Manatee?
Wow. That was hilarious, right, though. Yeah. He's like, he got cancer, so I stopped reading his book. But I started again, now that it has a super hot chick. And I just read Captain Marvel before this, too, so I was like, very nice. So it's full of really good, like I said, stuff like that. Again, you know, reiterate, gone are the days of Deadpool talking to five different thought bubbles. He can actually make jokes with other people, you know, and the comic can actually be funny on its own and also be very violent and gory and all of those other things that you totally expect, you know, from a Deadpool comic. So Lots of fun. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say. You should just, I mean, pick this one up. You know, this one is just damned funny. And a nice big turn.
Like I said, well, it's nice that they're doing something with Dibble, seeing as how he's got a game coming out. He might have a movie coming out.
Yeah, maybe.
You kind of got to do something to make that character.
Might, maybe. Anyway, I don't know. There you go. How about that? Quick Deadpool. All right, Crispy Feely. You're going to talk about something boring, right? What was it?
I am. First of all, I don't know about you guys, but I want to see this Man of the Idol show.
I do want to see the Man of the Idol.
That shows up Tuesdays at 8 on the CW. We know who is listening to this podcast. I think we can copyright Man of the Idol as our next great idea from this show.
You guys can't see my video, but...
executives.
But I'm now have all of my fingers up, and it's like... Suck it! As I flip you off. All right. Anyway. yeah. So anyway, Manatee Idol. There you go.
Manatee Idol.
So
I'm going to talk about Nova.
Nova! Nova!
Wake me up when you're done, okay?
Yeah, Jeff Loeb's Nova.
Wake me up when you're done.
I know. Okay, I'm going to get it out of the way. Actually, shockingly... Not bad.
Hmm?
Oh God! Wait.
I'm sorry.
Can
what?
Can you repeat that? What?
What?
It's not bad.
How?
I think Skype is messing up. One more time.
Sorry.
All right. So this Nova, we have on this show encountered this Nova before. This is the same Nova from
that awful preview for this
Avengers
book.
Sorry.
That awful preview for this book.
Well, no, that and also it's the same. It's the epic fail Nova from Avengers versus X-Men.
I'm kind of sad that the book itself is not an epic fail because
that would be
predicted his own demise. That would be excellent if he could have done that. But never mind.
It takes the right track out of the gate in that it's actually an origin story for the character. It's not told in flashback or anything. It is just set before all those previous appearances. It doesn't assume, unfortunately, like some books that I really enjoyed, like, say, Young Avengers, it doesn't assume that you read those other things and actually elects to start telling the character's story from the start. And the basic gist is that his dad used to be a Nova. Seems to be a member of a black ops organization who tells him all the stories of his time out in space and on adventure. And essentially, when one mission went wrong, the other Novas sent him back to work because he had a wife and child back on Earth, and they sent him back so that he wouldn't go out with them, so he wouldn't die with them. And he is now stuck as a drunk janitor, telling all these stories that nobody believes about his time as a Nova. As his son just tries to kind of look out for him and hold the family together. And, you know, that and the son... Okay, it's not bad, but you can now, based on what I have told you, piece together every single aspect of the son Sam's life and the whole family. He is unpopular at school because his dad's the janitor.
Yeah.
He's got a mum who is like, who knows that the dad was a Nova, but can't really verify that the stories are real, but is really hard on Sam for disrespecting the dad. There is a bully who bullies him at school because his dad's the janitor. I mean, the principal is basically Mr. Strickland from Back to the Future.
Oh, God.
There is
nice!
I thought you saw that too, but wait, I've seen you before.
He really, really is like, slacker!
Slacker!
He doesn't actually say that at any point, I don't think, but yeah. There's precisely one other female cast member outside of the mother and sister who is the painfully obvious love interest. You've got the little sister who believes every word of the dad's stories. All of the cookie cutter. I'm not going to call them stereotypes, tropes, whatever. It's like... It is easily, and it's a good thing, I think, that I find myself saying this about every single new piece of Jeff Loeb stuff that I tend to read. It is, again, easily the least wretched thing I've read from him in a long time.
That's
successive piece of Jeff upload stuff that I expose myself to don't seem to be better than the last.
Let's parse that, though, real quick. It is the least wretched.
Being fair, it is an absolutely decent comic. I still love that it's like the guarded review.
It's like it is.
What am I forgetting, Nicole?
You only need two words to sum up. Rocket Raccoon.
Yes, Rocket Raccoon and Gamera are in this. They were the characters that his dad and his team of Black Ops Novas rescued in the opening story that he tells his son.
That's the only reason why anyone should have to pick up anything.
Rocket Raccoon, honestly. Yeah. Rocket Raccoon is, he treads very dangerous ground where they're going to run the joke character.
They're going to Deadpool him if they don't.
Don't Deadpool Rocket Raccoon. And he's actually getting a bloody film. So be careful.
He's got to be in a movie. They got to put him in some comics.
And then there's going, the talking raccoon. Put it in as many comics as possible. It's fucking hilarious. Just be careful. Don't think Rocket Raccoon was necessary out of the gate for Nova number one.
Can I ask a quick question?
I don't care. I love it that he's in it.
I don't know anything about this version of Nova. My Nova is New Warriors Nova. So is there any connection to Richard Rider Nova?
Not implied yet. No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't
now,
even...
Is Richard Rider dead? I mean, is that Nova dead also?
I believe as he was, when last seen, he was in a state of death, yes.
Okay, I didn't know. I just knew he was handling the Guardians at one point, but I have no idea. I haven't been reading them.
Following the Thanos imperative story, I believe he is dead. But Thanos turned out okay from that, so I guess Rich could possibly turn back up. But, he's not a Nova by the end of the story. You know, it's not exactly lightning fast, but it's not crawling along either, because there's plenty of, you know, entertaining action sequences. They're all flashbacks to his dad's time as a Nova and everything. But, It is a bit checking off a listy as a story. It goes, okay, you know, mom, little sister, dad, bully, girlfriend. A lot of really, really stock elements coming together to create something that is fine, but brings absolutely zero to the table and probably doesn't move quite fast enough for something that they're asking $4 for as well, purely because it's got a big name.
Oh, was it $4?
Yeah, it was a $4 one, yeah.
That's a $3 book at the most.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. I mean, I understand $4 for Guardians of the Galaxy when it's Bendis' Guardians of the Galaxy, but Jeff Loeb's Nova is a $3.
I mean, if we were getting a Nova movie next summer, maybe it should be.
Yeah. Yeah,
but we're not getting a Nova movie, so I'm thinking $3 is what I'm thinking.
You know, I also really, what I do have to say is that Ed McGuinness's art is, this is real top of his game stuff that I've seen from, I've never been a huge Ed McGuinness fan or anything, but this is really nice.
His art's fine. I ain't got a problem with his art. It looks nice.
I mean, I'm most familiar with him from his Superman, Batman stuff, and he does very puffy, inflaty, cartoony, muscular Superman and Batman, and I don't know if he's like he did that deliberately, and he's employing a different approach to it now. Or
it's kind of anime, manga-ish looking art.
Well, not this. It's not.
This is not okay.
This is not.
His
no,
past stuff kind of was. Yeah.
I think I would still recognize this as Ed McGuinness if I saw it, but it's really nice. It's really nice. The art is very good on it. The story offers nothing new, but it does it in the right way, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It doesn't really put any feet wrong. It's just, but that's simply because the path it's walking along is so very well tread. And just before I close out, though, I gotta say, and I really hate being the dick who seems to be the only person on the internet willing to point this out. Okay. But we already know that the new Nova is named Sam. Okay.
Yeah.
The very first bit of dialogue in the entire comic is a caption box which reads, "Sam, did I ever tell you about the time only to be cut off?" And I'm like, "Oh, gee, subtext, I guess." It's like, you know, it's like, oh, it's a dad who wants to tell his son a story but isn't being allowed to finish. Oh, yeah, right. It's just like right out of the friggin' get with the shadow that has been cast over all of Loeb's work for the last decade.
Yeah.
No, I mean, at least, I mean, I thought maybe his dad was going to die before the end of the issue or something, and he didn't, at least. But we'll see where
issue,
the rest
issue
is.
Issue 2.
Not yet.
Don't worry.
The aliens come for the skull, and who fights him? The janitor. Who dies? The janitor. Issue 2.
Well, no, I mean, before the end of the issue, his dad has disappeared. It is like someone has come and taken his dad away. And like his dad has his Nova helmet on a shelf in his shed, you know? And Sam enters the shed and the wall's been broken in and his dad's disappeared. And the helmet's gone as well. And Sam jumps to the conclusion that his dad is running out on them. He's been afraid that this is what's going to happen, that his dad, being a drunk who's obviously unhappy with his life because he's making up these stories, is running out on them. But obviously someone's come and taken him. And, you know, then... like I said, really doesn't bring anything new to the table, but does what it does acceptably, surprisingly so, from the creator involved. And I can't say that I'll personally be rushing back for issue 2 or anything, but as a comic, just like as an isolated comic on its own, I'm borderline amazed that it's actually as readable as it is. And I don't know what kind of recommendation that is, but it's some kind of a one.
If Rocket's in the next issue, I'll get it if Rocket's in.
Don't help them, all right? Don't encourage them.
Hey, if you like comics, this is a comic. That's that recommendation.
Yeah.
It's semi-readable.
You know what was funny? On the second page of this, they show Nova flying through space, and it's just basically him in his helmet and his gruffy look, and I'm like, he looks really similar to Judge Dredd. No.
Get the heads, woman.
Wow.
Yeah.
On that note.
So actually not bad. Who knew?
I love these guarded, like...
just gush about it, and it's not a book that deserves gushing about it.
But it's my favorite.
Guarded is the only way to review it.
This is a book that you can read.
This has on paper, and somebody drew it.
It has words and pictures.
There are so many colors and shapes.
There's most of a plot.
Red. Yellow.
If we don't stop...
I wouldn't necessarily use it as kindling.
If it was on fire.
Right.
If we don't stop, people are going to think we're just picking on Jeff Loeb, because that's all we ever do is pick on Jeff Loeb.
Yeah, because it's fun. Somebody at my shop actually said I should read this. I'm like, are you crazy? I'm not reading that.
Is it the same person like...
I didn't think it was bad. I didn't think it was bad.
Yeah, but you bought everything.
It's legitimately not bad. This is like a 3-star book out of 5. It is honestly not bad.
That's not...
It's very middle of the road.
It is. It is very middle of the road.
It's not great.
It to do
it's
very
not
well,
awful.
But all
it could have potential.
Is,
you don't
it,
know.
I wouldn't go so far as to say it has potential based on what I've seen here, because it is all it is very, very, very stock elements. And I don't know what... I don't think it has got any set out goal aside from homaging Jeff Loeb's son by turning him into a superhero.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend it to someone I like, but I wouldn't recommend it to someone I dislike either.
So it's not for anyone.
I will pick up number 2. I will pick up number 2.
And I won't think the less of you for it.
All right. Let's get on then. On with it. Let's get on to Justice League of America.
What are we getting on with?
We are getting on with it, and we are moving on to Justice League of America. I'll take this if no one else is.
Show?
No?
Well, take it.
All right. I feel like I should pull some balance from Chris McFeely, and I can do that with this. It's not a very heavy issue You know, I like to give it to Chris McFeely if there's like a lot of subtext or backstory or things, and there's not a lot of that here. So,
if you want a comic that sure is 30 pages of someone reading out a list of names, boy, Justice League of America.
Let me tell you, this is your book. Let's see. Very ominously introduce Professor Ivo and some dude who has a map.
Now, I mean, this scene, remember, this is from the last chapter of the Justice League opening origin.
No.
We didn't see all of this, but we did see this man. I don't think we knew it was Ivo at the time, but we saw this man talking to this guy with the fanciful cufflink there, and I think they just ended that by saying, I guess they'll call us supervillains, I think was the last piece of dialogue.
Ah, okay.
Six. So this is that scene again. So the interrelation between the two books is apparent already.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, now, this character is called the Dark Hunter, but did we know that was who this was, or was this just something that was made up for this?
I had no idea.
Okay, good. So I feel
no
fine.
Idea who this character was.
Anyway, this person talks about he's going to die, and he does a lot of running and being stabbed by a stick.
Yeah. He's running from something.
He's running from something. Meanwhile, Amanda Waller and Steve Trevor
from Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. Apparently,
yeah.
Or is it Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman?
Well, maybe it is.
They claim that. Their creator wants him dead.
Yeah, and that was Ivo we just saw, so...
Ivo makes robots.
Ivo makes robots.
Robots with superpowers.
Just saying. Not saying.
How cool is
that? Just saying. All right, and then we have a long discussion between Amanda Waller and Steve Trevor. That's about it. Okay, so what do we think? No, we have a very long discussion. So the first bit of this is basically, I mean, to parse it down, it's just a conversation about Steve's, like, not wanting to lead up the Justice League of America. And she's like, no, you really do. And he's like, I really don't. And they bring up this picture of Superman.
Wait,
and
before you go on, I just need to say, Steve needs to find something else to do besides the steroids. My gosh, they bolt him up in this picture.
Yeah, he's...
that's David Finch for you.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I
thought he had superpowers on that one panel.
I know.
Those pythons are really.
Yeah, it's like, who bought tickets to the gun show? So
I really do appreciate here, actually, is Finch's depiction of Amanda Waller.
Yeah.
She does not look like the rather basic comic book hottie that a lot of previous appearances and the slimmed down version of the character have depicted her as. She looks almost like a real person.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Crazy. You know, it's still just
her work in the office.
Which is weird for David Finch. Like, this is not what David Finch normally does. So, actually, I'll give him the nod for that one.
In this discussion, they bring up the Superman and Wonder Woman making out thing, and Steve's like, "Well, I don't care. She do whatever she wants." And she's like, "Yeah, but they have like superpowers together." And well, and one thing I like is they did point out the last bit from the JLI annual.
It would be all over that.
And I was like, "Yay! That book is relevant."
You like the reference
well,
to the booster
but
going,
remember.
Didn't you?
Remember that that was written by Johns, so that connects to this. But they mentioned that Booster disappeared after this picture, so it added that there's larger implications with that as well. So it actually...
My bigger question is, what happened to Skeets?
That is a good question. We have not seen... Well, keep in mind, we have not seen Skeets at all in the New 52.
I know!
We've heard from him, but not seen him.
Wrong.
So
that's why that book bombed.
Now, if you paid attention to the panel, the first full page image, almost a page and a half spread, I guess, you'll notice something about the billboard. But if you didn't, that's okay because I didn't notice it the first time through either. So anyway, we go through this whole series, and it really colors this because what you basically find out at the end, and then we'll go back, is that the whole idea to the JLA, and not that this is surprising, is basically to come up with a group of people that they think could take out the Justice League if they needed to. And so they're looking for people to sort of match up, you know, toe-to-toe with a particular Justice League person. So they're looking at Hawkman to take on Aquaman. They're looking at Katana to take on Wonder Woman. They're looking on Vibe to take on the Flash, because they both work off of vibrations or augmenting vibrations.
That's sexy.
Yeah.
Because Vibe has to take on somebody. That's
yeah.
Why.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, this guy is still bleeding to death and running. They're looking for Stargirl to take on Cyborg because, well,
they need a date.
They were the only ones that were left.
Perfect couple.
Because Geoff Johns had to put Stargirl in this book, and she was the only one left without someone to fight.
Oh, come
so.
On, look at them. It's like the cheerleader of the football. It's the footballer. Come on. You know why they put them together.
I'm sorry.
They make cute babies.
I don't have any particular personal attachment to Stargirl, and the only thing I know is that...
I like Stargirl.
I mean, okay, she's fine, great, but it's like he just keeps shoving her in books because it's his sister. And I get that. I'm sorry. I know it hurts to lose people.
First book of the 52. What do you mean he's shoving her in books? What are you
he did
about?
It before the new 52. She kept showing up in other.
Before the new 52, though.
She joined
like
the
first time.
She joined the Justice Society because she's specifically a modern version of the Star Spangled Kid. You know, this is not Sam Loeb territory here.
No.
Oh, come on. Anyway,
it's really not.
Like she's actually a character in her own right who has a whole backstory that
I know that she does. I'm just saying it's like, is this really, it just doesn't, it feels like there's other characters that could have been better at fighting Cyborg, but
I'll
she was
that,
specific.
Sir, no problem.
So,
I mean,
okay, but that's, so.
Geoff Johns wanted to put her in this. Yes, no question about
right,
this.
Right, but here's,
yes, no
here,
question.
No, let's talk about this because I'm like, here's the thing. If the entire point of the JLA was to find the perfect person to go toe-to-toe, why did they pick Stargirl to go with Cyborg, and weren't there better people that could have done it?
I'm not arguing with you.
I'm just right. So that if that's the point, then that's why I'm saying it seems a little shoehorned. So anyway, it's fine. It works. Like I said, it's just I'm not that big.
I guess they could have Deathstroke the Terminator if you want to get, you know, pissy about it, but you know.
Just saying.
Pick Stargirl, I kind of like Stargirl. I'm just saying.
Okay. I have no personal attachment to her, and like I said, so I anyway. Yeah, and then Green Lantern and Manhunter and Green Arrow. KK. Manhunter for Superman, Boz for Cal, and then Green Arrow for, I don't know, who did they want him for? Who's he fighting?
I don't remember. Batman?
No.
Well, is there another member?
Catwoman is for Batman.
Yeah.
I
don't think there are that many members on the Justice League.
Green Arrow. Green Arrow is, I guess, like the odd man out or something.
Yeah, Green Arrow may be the odd man out. Anyway, and then there's a whole great sequence.
There may be something else going on, by the way.
I'm guessing Steve is for Green Arrow. Steve Rogers. Sorry, not Steve Rogers.
Steve Rogers?
Oh.
Wow. Although, I do want to see now, like, that merged DC Marvel universe where it's Steve Trevor and Steve Rogers as the same person.
What if, I don't know why I said
Superman and Steve Rogers. That was the super soldier.
Right, but no. Stay with, no. Okay, anyway.
Okay, it's getting weird.
Anyway, so yeah, so you know, Steve Trevor drops in on Catwoman, and
Steve Trevor,
thank you. Wow. Anyway, all right, here's our full chart again. Yeah, Green Arrow's not on that.
He's not on it. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's kind of weird.
That, yeah.
Anyway, so there you go. There's your full list, and so yeah, so Steve is going to be the leader of this team, and he has a conversation with Martian Manhunter because you know Martian Manhunter shows up whenever you mention his name.
Yeah. He's like Campbell that way.
Wait, not here. He's not here. Maybe he was here. Maybe he raced my mind.
Yeah, maybe he was here.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's kind of awesome in this and seems really badass. I haven't really seen much of the new 52.
Yeah, he's just been over in Stormwatch, yeah. But I don't know. But it's like this whole issue, much like Justice League itself, gives off a tremendous vibe of really not giving a fig about how the characters are being depicted in their own comics.
Yeah.
It's like, what do we got here with Catwoman? You know, Steve Trevor convinces... I mean, it's like Catwoman, it seems like the odd duck out in this lineup.
Now, and even, to be fair, even Amanda Waller points that out.
Yeah, and it's like Amanda Waller goes, Catwoman! But we do get a solid, logical reason for why she should be on the team to counter Batman. And there is a, it's left as a mystery, but Trevor's able to, was it a real Selina Kyle? That she's someone's stolen Catwoman's identity or something, and Catwoman's out for her. You know, someone is using the name Selina Kyle, and Steve Trevor tells her that he knows who it is. And I'm like, that seems fairly important. I figure that would reflect on whatever Catwoman was doing in her own No? Okay.
No, that's not? Okay.
It's like, it just, like Justice League, it just really doesn't seem to care about the rest of the DC universe.
Yeah.
While at the same time, the entire comic, like a lot of the stuff that's been happening in the subplots over in Justice League, does, and even Vibe this week, does make it feel like it's just like the next chapter of some big Johnsian epic that we're moving towards that we just don't have the full picture of yet, and that no other writer is actually privy to the details of and is not working towards or doing anything reflective of in their work.
Yeah, I can see that. And I mean, and that gets pointed out here at the end, because this dude finally makes it back. And
talk about the Hunter guy.
The Hunter guy. It turns out it's it's Green Arrow. And he knows the dude that's heading up the Secret Society. And
it's the Secret Society of Supervillains is what's happening. And I'm like, well, that makes sense. You're not going to do the Injustice Gang in something that's trying to be a cool, modernized version of the DCU, like the New 52. So the Secret Society of Supervillains is your next port of call. You know?
Yeah.
So it's got a cool name.
So Green Arrow knows the guy, and they're like, who is it? And he's like, and the guy leading up the thing is, well, I can't just say, who would write that? Yeah, but no, he really dies.
No.
No, he doesn't die because issue 18 is coming out.
No, he's dead. He's dead. Look, there's a flat line right there. He's totally dead.
And Steve will be like, oh, sorry, I stepped on the leads.
He's back. Oh, I'm sorry, I almost went there. Anyway, as I was saying, the guy heading up the team, he's...
it's like airplane, Jesus.
So there you go. Not much to go on, really.
No, it is an assembling the team issue in which the team doesn't really appear
at all. Like,
just
I mean,
assemble
little bits. Although, like the Hawkman thing was like, man.
What's going on there? It's like nobody gave a shit about Hawkman's comic, so I don't care if this lines up with what was going on in it at all, but I'm like 100% sure it doesn't.
Yeah.
In which, like, they're presenting the idea. I don't know what origin the New 52 Hawkman comic presented for Hawkman, but here we have it that he's some kind of delusional guy who is like... who believes he is like Kedar Hall, or that that's a cover story that allows him to get away with what he's doing. And here he appears to kill an ordinary pickpocket by, like, claiming that he is... What did they say his name was?
He's Fugitive 13, Bith Rock.
Yeah, Bith Rock.
By claiming that he is a Thanagarian fugitive. And he says he's recording the capture and judgment of Thanagarian fugitive Bith Rock. So I'm like, is this just what you're recording to justify the fact that you've smashed this guy's head open with a mace? Like, I'm vaguely interested as to what
is he delusional or...
bugger all to do with what was going on in Hulkman's own comic.
Well, it was Rob Liefeld. No one read it anyway.
Not a big Hawkman fan.
So. I like Hawkman, but I don't like Hawkman in his own book. I like Hawkman as a team. JSA, Justice League.
Yeah.
They can do good stuff with him on a team, but in his own book, I don't give a shit about him.
And it's like here where we get the Stargirl thing where it's like she... there's an explosion at the site of this. She's getting the star on Hollywood Walk of Fame or something, and there's an explosion in an adjoining building, and inside there's like a pentagram or a symbol of some kind etched in the walls, and she recognizes it. She says Pemberton. Now, Pemberton was Sylvester Pemberton, presumably, who's the original Star Spangled Kid, who she has now got the cosmic staff that used to belong to. And they talk about her biological father and everything, and I'm not sure what's going on there, but it's like, I'm allowed to be intrigued by that because I know she doesn't have her own comic that's going to be doing something completely different and contradictory.
Yeah, at least, you know, for for that, I mean, yeah, like you said, like there's a couple characters that, you know, they're not going to have like the contradictory stuff. And Vibe seems to line up because for the part of Vibe, it, right? You know, yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. Johns was writing Green Lantern, and Green Lantern was nothing like, you know, Hal was nothing like himself in Justice League. So
is Katana talking to her sword here?
See, I thought she was talking to her sword, but like. Her husband died, so she's
okay. Okay, let me explain to you because I read Katana last week.
Okay, well, do please then in that case. Yeah.
Okay, or Katana. I'm not sure. Sorry, the dialect there. Okay, so she has her tragic story where she had her one true love, which was her husband, who was taken away because he was like this super ninja guy, you know. But he was resurrected inside the sword. She believes. So she believes. The sword that she carries is her dead husband.
She believes.
Yeah, but the thing is, she kind of gets like advice, and she talks to it all the time. So nothing comes between a girl and her sword.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and right now she lived in Japantown. I can't remember where we're at. This very small block of people, and yeah, it wasn't a great comic, but I kind of glad I read it, so I kind of knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
Cool.
Basically, yeah, sword is her dead husband.
It seems that altogether, as far as Justice League of America number one goes here, is that you're going to get a hell of a lot more out of this if you know who these people are already.
Yeah.
This does very little, aside from one or two bits here, like the Hawkman thing is, I think that's genuinely intriguing because I'm not sure what's going on there. That's kind of interesting to me. But being able to understand and recognize what's going on with a lot of these characters will magnify or diminish your enjoyment of what's going on here. Because this is essentially two people standing on opposite sides of a table listing off a bunch of names accompanied by vignettes to go along with each name that gets read out.
Well,
yeah, it's not the most gripping.
Okay, my thing is I'm excited to see the Green Lanterns go up against each other. But if you read this week's Green Lantern, you're like,
well,
what?
But that isn't even the team is being assembled with that potential eventuality in mind.
That's not what it's actually like for.
But that's what
like,
not
it's
what
be
yeah.
doing a bunch of other stuff. Like this is, I mean, like the exclusion of America from the Justice League series when it launched 18 months ago was probably deliberate to build up
yes.
to this. I mean, the whole point here is that the government doesn't actually control the Justice League. They just have a link to them. They can't actually control them directly. So they want a team that they actually can control. And on the basis that the Justice League will probably not appreciate that very much, they have put together a team that will...
And if they would just put a call in to the United Nations, because that went really well when they tried to do that, so...
Yeah, for that, now, yeah, that's, yeah.
This book makes more sense, I think, if you've actually been reading the other Justice League book, because they just finished the crossover of the Throne of Atlantis, and in it, it's basically...
I was thinking bathroom.
No. It's basically, you know, the Justice League are viewed more of a threat because, you know, everybody sees what the Atlanteans have done. Aquaman's a member of the Justice League. He's the king of Atlantis. You know, what we need to create something that can maybe stand in their way. I mean, bunch of people.
The League did not fare too well off the back of that. It's like, yeah, okay, so the Atlanteans got pushed back at the very end, but like large portions of the coast of America.
In fact, a lot of the characters that are in this book when the Justice League got defeated in their storyline are the ones that showed up as reserve members. A lot of these characters are characters that they had chosen. Cyborg had created a program to basically, you know, hey, we've been defeated. You guys are, you know, the Justice League. You have to come and save us, basically.
Hey, we need to get bigger. So
yeah.
Oh,
it's
no,
like
that's
these are
the
reserve members.
Sorry.
So a lot of the people that are in this book, not all of them, but a lot of them are the guys that they
Hawkman
were going to bring in.
Right.
Yeah, Hawkman specifically are guys that they would have brought into the team, and now they're getting, you know, cherry picked by Waller to be basically Justice League, you know, stoppers if they go bad.
Yeah, but they're going to do other stuff.
It actually turned out to be pretty decent as well.
It was pretty good. Yeah, I actually had to read it all. I had to read it all today because, like, I was real behind in Justice League and Aquaman. I was like, I want to read JLA number one, but I probably need to read this first. And I, like, just marathoned the whole damn thing. Yeah.
Yeah, no, Throne of Atlantis actually earned Aquaman a reprieve for me because that book has been so point A to point B for so long now through the whole other storyline. Throwing in the neat twist about who was actually in control of the scepter was enough to make me go, well, fair enough, Aquaman. You get points for that. I'm not going to drop you now.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Nice. I'll stick with it until, like, nature, you know, comes in and cancels it for me.
No, that's not going to happen. It sells too much.
Yeah.
Oh, it sells good? Okay.
It sells good, but it sells good because Geoff Johns writes it. So as soon as Geoff Johns leaves.
Yeah, then it'll be
I'm
done.
Gone. If Geoff Johns leaves or it gets canceled, that
Oh, yeah, I'm out of that. Like, you
Johns
will see a
or
large
cancellation,
Chris shift
and I'm
hope.
Gone.
There will be a dust cloud just here in the shape of me.
Yep.
I'm gone.
Gone.
So there you go. Justice League. Of America. Of America.
Very, Geoff Johns America. Is doing something. I take it, did you guys just get the regular cover, or did you go for one of the 50 variants?
I got a regular.
I just got an American flag.
I got three.
You're buying into it.
I did. Okay, I've only done this a few times. I did it with the ponies. I've done it with a few Transformers. So I had to get my two state flags. I got my home state of Wyoming and my current state of Utah. And the American flag as well.
Utah.
Well, altogether it feels
Utah
like...
still has the most boring flag, I swear.
I don't know. I have no idea what they are, so I... I just ordered regular American flags into my Irish store.
Sounds good.
Yay!
But altogether, it really feels like Geoff Johns is doing something. And, I mean, it's felt like this since the first arc of Justice League, because we've got those danglers about Darkseid, and something's going on with the Question and the Trinity of Sin. We know we've got the Trinity War coming up. There's the Secret Society is paying off now when we weren't sure when it would, when it was in Justice League. Like, Geoff Johns is doing something, and it does feel like it's some kind of... I don't know if it's all going to collide in the Trinity War or not. This Darkseid stuff, I think, could go beyond that. But Justice, I mean, I think the overriding feel I get off of JLA number one is that it's just the next bit of that. And, like, I guess I can see why this isn't happening in the real Justice League book, but I don't know. It's not bad. Again, this is another Nova. You know, it's not a bad issue. But, yeah. Just sort of there again, you know. There's nothing particularly gripping. I mean, again, it accomplishes what it sets out to do pretty well. All the characters are good rationales for being on the team. There are more than a few intriguing hooks set up for what's going to happen with the characters, but it doesn't seem like it's done with any mind towards the larger DC universe, only what Geoff Johns is doing in it. Mm. And frankly, I mean, Geoff Johns is one of the only guys who's doing anything decent right now. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, big whoop. Like, I don't care if it doesn't line up with what happened in the cancelled Hawkman comic. But at the same time, I'm like...
I mean, really, what does it matter? I mean, think of all the comics
I know.
Years. I mean, all the time, like, we didn't have anything that lined up with anything. And most of the time when it lined up, what did it say? In the corner, as can be seen in the newest issue of Amazing Spider-Man number blah, blah, blah. That's it. You know, there's like nothing else that references it. I mean, what does it really matter? I mean, I'm reading this book.
But
I don't care
what's
going on in the other book.
Lining up, and there's the fact that John is going out of his way to create subplots revolving around the intimate lives of these characters that are not reflected in the that that's the sort of stuff that should actually be happening in. I don't read them, so I don't care, but the comic book nerd in me kind of does care, just on a larger scale. I don't know what quite to make of it. It's a fine issue.
Yeah.
It's probably another 3 out of 5, you know, if we were playing things sort of book.
It's okay.
But it's okay.
It's okay.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, John is right. Justice League. I'll keep you in it. I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm not doing any of it. So I mainly just picked it up to see what it was all about. So I was like, huh, okay, cool. I get what you're doing there. That's cool. I'll wait for a trade if I need to. So there you go. All right. Anything else we should cover before we go then? Or?
That's about everything.
No, that's it. Okay, cool. So, again, I'll just say to those that wish me a happy birthday, thank you. So I appreciate it. It was really cool. Got a lot of those on Friday on Twitter. So
happy late birthday.
Thank you. So with that, I will say that you can follow the show on Twitter at FanboyVS. You can also like us on Facebook or circle us on Google Plus for the TF Radio Network. Those are all exciting things to do. You can listen to this show live every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. GMT. And that is at tfradio.net/live, or you can just go to that part of the website, tfradio.net, for all of our shows, this one and many others. Or for just this show, you can go to fanboyversus.com. Yes. So there's all of those things that you could do. So, yeah. I think that's it. I managed to cover that very succinctly. I don't know how I did that. Usually I don't do that so well. Anyway.
You're a machine.
It's, yeah, something like that. I am. So anyway. All right. Well, there you go. There's our show. So for Chris Triplett, for Chris McFeely, Nicole Hale, thank you so much for tuning in. And please tune in next time when it'll be Fanboy versus...
This has been Fanboy versus. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.